Vyasa came to his mother Satyavati, bowed down, and asked the reason for calling him. Satyavati explained the difficult situation in which her kingdom was at present, and requested Vyasa to grant Ambika and Ambalika sons, who could become the future kings of the kingdom. Understanding the situation, Vyasa informed Satyavati that he could use his ascetic powers to grant offspring to Ambika and Ambalika, but they would need to undertake a vow for 1 year. However, the kingdom was already in turmoil due to the absence of a ruler, and waiting another year, followed by the time needed for pregnancy and childbirth, seemed unfeasible, as anything could happen during that period. Satyavati, expressing the urgency, requested an immediate solution from Vyasa. Vyasa then suggested the practice of Niyoga, explaining that if Ambika and Ambalika could endure his austere form, fresh from penance, they would bear sons who would become great warriors and heirs. In a situation where all paths seemed blocked, Satyavati saw this as a very good opportunity. She went to Ambika and Ambalika, lamenting the situation. She expressed her regret, saying that if she had not brought them to the kingdom and married them to her incompetent son, they would not have ended up in such circumstances. She sorrowfully explained the process of progeny through the practice of Niyoga. Understanding Satyavati's plight, Ambika and Ambalika tried to console her. They assured her that it was not her fault and that there was no selfishness in the harsh decision she had made for the good of the kingdom. They believed it was their fate and explained that it would give them peace of mind to help continue the Kuru lineage through Niyoga, rather than let the dynasty end with them. Pleased with their broad-mindedness, Satyavati prepared Ambika first for the Niyoga process and sent her to Vyasa. Ambika entered the dark room, and upon suddenly seeing Vyasa in his fearsome appearance with dreads and a body covered with hair, she was terrified and screamed loudly. After a while, when the process was completed, Vyasa came out to the eagerly waiting Satyavati and informed her that Ambika would soon bear a child. He said that an extremely strong and intelligent son would be born, but because Ambika had closed her eyes in fear during the process, the child would be born blind. Satyavati, who was listening with hope for good news, was filled with disappointment. Satyavati immediately went to Ambalika, personally preparing her and explaining in detail the importance of not closing her eyes under any circumstances. Ambalika, though mentally prepared, felt intense fear upon seeing Vyasa. She remembered Satyavati's words not to close her eyes and managed to suppress her fear, but the fear caused her to turn pale. After the process was completed, Vyasa came out and explained to Satyavati that because Ambika and Ambalika were born as princesses and raised in a delicate environment, they were terrified and anxious upon seeing his fearsome appearance. He informed Satyavati that Ambalika would bear a mighty warrior as a son, but due to her turning pale with fear during the process, the child would be born with anemia disease. Although Satyavati was relieved to know that both would bear sons, she was deeply troubled by the fact that they would be born with defects. As Vyasa was about to leave, having completed his task, Satyavati stopped him and requested that he perform the Niyoga process one more time to ensure the birth of a flawless son. Unable to refuse his mother's request, Vyasa agreed, hesitant to directly ask Ambalika to go to Vyasa again. Satyavati went to Parasrama, Ambika's maid, and explained the situation. She asked Parasrama to prepare Ambalika for the process once more and to encourage her to go to Vyasa without fear, ensuring that this time she would not be afraid. Obeying the Queen Mother's command, Parasrama, with trembling hands, approached the fearful Ambalika to convey the matter and encourage her. She reassured Ambalika, saying there was no need to be afraid of Vyasa's appearance, mentioning that she had seen many sages and mystics since childhood. Though they appeared frightening, they were ordinary humans like us, just less concerned with bodily cleanliness. Unable to refuse Satyavati's request, but too scared to go to Vyasa herself, Ambalika thought of asking Ambika if she would go instead, and upon entering Ambika's room, she found her unconscious from fear, attended by the maidservants. Unsure of what to do, Ambalika conceived the idea of sending Parasrama, who was not at all frightened by Vyasa's appearance in her place, dressed as herself. Despite Parasrama's protests that this would lead to her banishment if Satyavati found out, Ambalika insisted. She dressed Parasrama in her own attire, reasoning that the darkness of the room would prevent Vyasa from noticing the switch, and sent her to Vyasa. After the process was complete, Vyasa returned to Satyavati and informed her that this time there were no adverse effects. He said that a virtuous son who could easily study the Vedas and uphold Dharma would be born. Seeing Satyavati overflowing with joy, he added that this time it was not Ambalika who came but her companion Parasrama. Hearing yet another disappointing news for the third time, Satyavati's thoughts turned dark. She was tormented by the idea that the future kings who would rule the kingdom would be born with flaws, weakening the dynasty through successive generations. The thought that she was the root cause of this potential downfall deeply troubled her. She felt as if the future of the kingdom was slipping away from her hands, with every decision leading towards disaster. Unable to bear this overwhelming guilt, she shared her burden with Vyasa, asking despairingly if she would go down in history as the cause of the Kuru dynasty's downfall. She questioned the reasoning behind continuing the process of Niyoga with Parasrama despite knowing her identity. Understanding the turmoil in Satyavati's heart, Vyasa reassured her, explaining that although the future seemed bleak compared to the past, it was not Satyavati's fault. He then began to elucidate the reason why, with his divine brilliance, the god of death, Yama, needed to be born in human form. In his ashram, deeply immersed in meditation, sage Mandavya distancing himself from his physical body, meditating for days on end, completely detached from the material world. A group of thieves, having stolen valuable items, were being pursued by soldiers. In their attempt to evade capture, they reached the ashram of sage Mandavya. Seeing the sage deeply engrossed in meditation, the thieves found it easy to enter the ashram and hide, hoping to escape the soldiers. The soldiers, searching for the thieves, entered the ashram and explained their reason for coming to sage Mandavya, asking if he had seen anyone passing by. Since the sage was deeply immersed in meditation, he was unaware of what was happening around him and did not respond to the soldiers' questions. Remaining absorbed in his meditation, unable to tolerate his silence, the soldiers searched the entire ashram, found the thieves and the hidden stolen valuables, and arrested them. Suspecting sage Mandavya, who appeared indifferent to the chaos around him, the soldiers took him along with the thieves to the king. Despite the king's repeated questions, sage Mandavya did not break his silence. Angered by this, the king concluded that the sage was an accomplice in the theft and sentenced him to a severe punishment, a brutal death by impalement. In this punishment, the condemned are made to sit on a sharp spear, which pierces through their body up to the head, causing excruciating pain and death. Sage Mandavya was subjected to this punishment and was placed on the spear. For ordinary humans, the spear would have pierced through their body and caused death. But sage Mandavya, undeterred, continued his meditation while impaled on the spear. Some sages in the form of birds, passing by, came to Sage Mandavya and asked him the reason for this gruesome punishment. Realizing their presence, the sage broke his meditation and, understanding the situation, questioned whether the fault lay with the thieves who committed the crime, or the soldiers who arrested him along with the thieves, or the king who sentenced him, or himself for being absorbed in meditation. The soldiers, witnessing this extraordinary event, immediately reported it to the king. The king, realizing his mistake after seeing this miraculous sight, pleaded for Sage Mandavya's forgiveness and ordered his immediate release from the punishment. As Mandavya was being brought down from the spear, a small piece of the spear remained in his body, hence he became known as Ani Mandavya. Not wanting to blame anyone for what had happened to him, he decided to use his ascetic powers to discover the reason behind his suffering. He traveled to the realm of Yama, the god of death, and questioned him. Yama explained that when Mandavya was a child, he used to enjoy piercing insects with thorns, and as a result of that karma, he had to endure the punishment of the spear. Mandavya clarified that children under the age of 5 are not held accountable for their actions, as they lack the discernment between right and wrong. Therefore, punishing Mandavya for his childhood deeds was a grave error on Yama's part. As a consequence of this error, Yama was cursed to be born as a human in the womb of a maidservant, and to live in circumstances where he would witness injustice, but be powerless to act against it. Vyasa explained to Satyavati that due to this curse, Yama himself would be born as a human in the womb of the maidservant Parasrama. As Vyasa had predicted the future, the son born to Ambika was blind. The son born to Ambalika had a pale complexion, and the son born to the maidservant Parasrama was without any defects. The son of Ambika was named Dhritarashtra, the son of Ambalika was named Pandu, and the son of Parasrama was named Vidura.